What does it mean to be reverent? Nancy Lee DeMoss helps you answer that by asking some other questions.
How would you act if Jesus were in the room? Would you lose your temper? Would you scream at your husband or your child or your roommate? Would you criticize your boss or slander your neighbor? Would you watch that movie or surf that internet site? Being reverent involves being profoundly aware that God is always in the room.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. In Titus, women are told to be reverent. Does that mean they always have to speak in hushed tones and never have fun? Mary Cassian and Nancy Lee DeMoss will answer that question today. It comes up as part of a discussion of Titus chapter 2. Nancy and Mary use Titus 2 as the basis for their brand new workbook, True Woman 201, Interior Design. This is a passage and this is a study that has huge practical advice for our day. Here's Nancy and Mary talking about chapter 2 of True Woman 201.
Well, Mary, today we come to what I think is one of the most foundational elements of biblical womanhood. Mm-hmm. And the more we've talked about this, the more we've just said, it all comes back to this. Mm-hmm. It all comes back to this. But let's just back up again and say what the context is here. We're in the book of Titus, and Paul the Apostle is writing to Titus, who's a pastor of a church on an island of Crete, many similarities to the culture in which we live today. And in the first chapter, he says, if the church is going to make a difference in the world, if the church is going to survive the onslaught of paganism and secularism and immorality and false teaching, and if the church is going to be a light in a dark world, then first they have to have leaders who are biblically qualified. They're mm-hmm. sound in doctrine. They know how to model good behavior and right doctrine, holy living, and they know how to teach it, and they know how to correct it when it gets wrong.
And then in the second chapter, picks up from there and makes it a lot more personal to everyone and addresses various groups, telling the various groups in terms of their behavior what all believers should act like and what Christianity should look like to a pagan world, because there's a lot at stake. Because the way that we live, the way that we display Christ at work in us is going to be a testimony that will either be attractive to a broken, hurting world, or it will repel them.
So let's just go back and read the context of this first paragraph in Titus chapter 2. And I hope that those who are following this study with us will be reading this passage in the context of the book of Titus over and over and over again. That's what we did as we were digging into this study. And so you see the context of what Paul is saying to women here. But he starts by saying to Titus, as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And that's where we talked about
Discernment.
Right thinking, and that believers are to use the Word of God as a plumb line and to be discerning about whether their thinking about everything in life is in accordance with the Word of God.
And then he challenges the various groups, the men, the women, older men, younger men, older women, younger women, to make sure that that discernment is being worked out in the way that they live their lives as men and as women and as younger and older.
So what does sound doctrine look like on us as women?
On us as women at this stage and age of life.
That I would say we would qualify as older. Not old, but it says older here. I like that.
Older.
Older than we used to be.
Everybody's older than someone.
Right. So it starts in verse 2 with older men. Mm-hmm. He says they're to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Mm-hmm. And then in a part later in the chapter, we won't go there today, but he speaks to younger men.
Right.
What are they supposed to look like?
Yeah, and older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So that's what older women are supposed to look like and what they're supposed to spend their lives doing.
And this is what younger women are mm-hmm. supposed to be aspiring to. And yet it doesn't just happen when you get older.
Well, so the passages really that address older women also apply to younger women. It's just that sometimes it takes a little while to get there.
Right.
But you don't just get there when you get there.
Exactly.
You got to start now. And that's a word I wish we could just say to younger women who are doing this study. I'm so thrilled they are. And younger women who are listening to this series, to say, start now. This is the kind of woman you want to become. Because the world has a picture of womanhood that it gives to us. This is when you're old, this is what you're supposed to look like and act like and be like. We say, put those pictures away. Pick up this picture find out the portrait that God has for your life. And what are the elements that will make that interior design of your life a beautiful one?
It's like a whole curriculum for women and maps it out. And I think so well for women who are younger and older and things, different emphases that are very important at different ages and stages of life.
So we've talked about the foundation of discernment, having right thinking. But now we come to women are to be reverent in behavior. The element of reverence or honor. And again, I think this is one that a lot of people may think, oh, could we get to something practical? Well, as we've talked about this, we realize there couldn't be anything more practical or foundational than our attitude toward God. In fact, some of the different translations, I think, help us in what this means to be reverent in behavior. The Amplified paraphrase says, to be reverent and devout in their deportment.
That's an old-fashioned word, isn't it?
Deportment. Behavior, the way you conduct yourself, as becomes those engaged in sacred service.
Another translation says, to exhibit behavior fitting for those who are holy.
Or to be in demeanor such as befits those who are engaged in sacred things. So what's the picture
here? It seems like the different translation have different ways of translating, because there's a word there that's unique and only found here in the New Testament in the Greek. And the root meaning of the word is priest-like, or that which is appropriate to holiness. So to act in an appropriate manner for a holy person. So a holy person ought to have appropriate behavior, or even temple appropriate behavior is one way to translate what's becoming of someone who is a holy person.
And that brings up the reminder that according to God's word, if we are believers in Christ, we are saints, which means holy ones.
That's right.
So he's saying here, women are to live like what they really are, Christian women, are saints, so they're supposed to live like saints. Well, that's another kind of old-fashioned feeling word. People say, well, yeah, you do that in church. But he's saying everywhere you are, whatever you're doing, you're supposed to live in a way that is fitting of those who are holy ones.
And or temple appropriate behavior. And we are the temple of God, that God's Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so it is though Christ is with us all the time. It's not that we walk out of a church building and all of a sudden we're in an environment, the world, and we've left Christ behind. It's no, Christ is in us, with us all the time. So our behavior should be appropriate and should be acknowledging the fact that Christ is with us all the time.
And what is appropriate brings us to that word reverence. Which again is a word you don't use much in everyday language. We probably should use it more. I looked it up in the dictionary and it says an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. Respect and awe. Now, Mary, I know your family has a tradition every Christmas of going to see Handel's Messiah, which actually gives a great illustration of the concept of reverence.
Every year when we go, we take someone else with us along. And this last year, we took my daughter-in-law and son, and I leaned over and I warned her, because during the performance, the whole audience stands during a particular song, and that song is the Hallelujah Chorus.
Anytime that that's performed, the whole congregation, the whole audience stands. And why is that?
Well, the interesting thing is it's not at the end of the performance. It's kind of in the middle, kind of three quarters of the way through, and the whole audience stands up. And apparently it stems back to the time of the monarchy and in England, and when this song was written by Handel. And King George II actually stood during the first performance, when that song came on, talking about King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he stood up. Now, the tradition was that whenever a monarch stood that the people had to stand, the commoners needed to stand to acknowledge the presence of that monarch.
Out of reverence and respect.
Out of reverence and respect. Now, obviously, King George was standing out of reverence for the greater monarch, King of Kings. He is King of Kings. And so King George stood to acknowledge that. And then all the commoners, everyone who was listening to the performance stood as well. And that's a tradition that has continued on to this day.
And what a great picture of we live in the presence of the King of Kings mm-hmm. and the Lord of Lords, which doesn't mean we should always be standing formally at attention, but it means in our hearts there ought to be this attitude of deep respect mm-hmm. tinged with awe. I mean, you think about it, if we really believed that God was here,
yeah,
which he is, of course,
yes.
but if we were conscious of that, and isn't that what the fear of the Lord is about? It's that constant conscious awareness.
Yeah, if I was aware that God was here and Christ was with me, you know, when I'm in the kitchen and if my husband says something and I'm a little bit snarky about it, would I retort in the same way? Would I respond in the same way? Would I snap his head off in the same way if Jesus were in the room?
Well, you just think of when we have, you know, you get in the presence of some person who's a celebrity or a political official or something. And even if you don't like the person's politics or what they represent, there's a sense of watching how you act, watching how you talk, mm-hmm. a sense of respect in the presence of greatness.
Yes.
And we're always in the presence of greatness, not just when we're in church, but when we are at home, when we're think we're, you know, not on the platform. It's easy for us sitting here under lights and on a set to be acting respectful and reverential. But the real test is, do
in
I act
life.
Respectful and reverential of the Lord when I'm off the set?
When someone
cuts
scenes. You off in traffic,
yeah.
when you have to wait so long in line at the bank.
Oh, no, now you're getting too personal. So it affects everything we do.
It really does.
And everywhere we are. And not just, it makes Christianity not just a category of our lives, which mm-hmm. I think it is for so many people. Mm-hmm. But Christ is our life. And that reverence in our behavior is what is being reflected here.
Mm-hmm. And which is why it is first up on this list that older women are to be reverent. As we've discussed this, as we've been preparing for this show, we've seen that everything taps into that. It is all of life, and Christ is all of life, and how we do life ought to be as in the presence of the Lord.
And yet reverence for the Lord and respect for things of the Lord is not something you see a lot in our culture, even within the church. Don't you feel like there's a little bit more of a casual and even disrespectful manner that so many women and ourselves at times, I know, demonstrate. It's not in today for women to be respectful and reverent. If you turn on a TV or you watch a lot of movies, how are women portrayed more often?
Well, certainly not reverent and respectful. It's crass or to be loud or clamorous. Really the kind of woman that we see back in Proverbs chapter 7, the me first, look at me, it's all about me, instead of saying we are in the presence of someone greater and it's all about Christ.
So can a woman be reverent and have fun?
Certainly. Certainly, if you're having fun in a reverent way. And I think that Christ demonstrated that so well when he was on earth. When I just picture him as such a joyful person and just enjoying the children, enjoying walks with his disciples, enjoying being outside. I just think of the joy breaking those loaves and fishes and enjoying yeah. the look of surprise on everyone's face when it just got to be more and more. Christ was such a joyful person, and yet he is the person who really epitomizes what reverence is all about.
So in his presence, Psalms mm-hmm. tells us, is fullness of joy. Mm-hmm. And true reverence, if we have this as women, if we're reverent in behavior, that's going to make us more winsome, more enjoyable. In fact, you were talking about Jesus being kind of fun to be around. I think the only people that would not have been true for were the religious Pharisees.
Yes, the
ones
religious people.
Who acted reverent but didn't have reverent hearts. They were more centered on themselves than on God and more concerned about the show that they made, the impression they made. And Jesus, I don't think he was real fun around them. He was kind of scathing.
Well, they weren't that much fun either.
They were no fun.
They were no fun at all.
But people would have said, who are the reverent people in that day?
Who are the holy people?
Who are the holy people?
It's the one that we're putting on a show. But scripture teaches us otherwise.
So true reverence is living out this honor and this respect in the presence of God and acknowledging his authority over us.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me that reverence shows up in the list for women. Why? Why is it important? Why does Paul highlight this? Why does he not say, well, reverence is important for everyone? And it is important for everyone, but there's a specific emphasis on it here for women.
And I wonder if that's maybe because as women, we're more prone to be verbal really quickly and sometimes don't have a filter, don't have self-control over what we say or how we display our emotions or kind of just more comfortable being out there and maybe not as careful and cautious to be appropriately reserved when it's appropriate to be reserved. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, you know, these instructions address Ben's sin-specific tendencies that we have as women. And when he says for older women, it makes me wonder as I'm getting older, is there a tendency maybe to let down your guard as you get older and to feel that, you know,
a little bit more entitled?
A little more entitled,
yeah. It's more, it's about me instead of understanding that all of life is about Christ. And we tend to see that in older women where older women will go one way or the other. They'll become more reverent or they'll become more irreverent.
Yeah, right. And we've seen both.
Yes.
And I look at both kinds of women, I think, okay, this is the kind of woman I don't want to become, but the kind of woman I do want to be is a woman who just always has a sense of living in the presence of the Lord. And that means that our reverence flows out of our view of God. Mm-hmm. However we see God, if we humanize God, we make him after our image, then we're just going to be casual and not careful about how we talk and act and think in his presence. But if we have this elevated view of God being great, which is why, again, we go back to keeping our heads and our hearts in this book, in God's word, that elevated view of God will produce a lifestyle of reverent behavior.
I agree. And I think that so often we focus on Jesus being our friend, Christ being our friend, the Lord being a friend of
which
sinners.
He is.
Which he is. He is the best friend a person could have. But we focus on that to the exclusion of thinking that he is God. This is God we're talking about. This is not just a buddy down the street who struggles with sin the same way I do. This is the Lord who created the universe, put the stars in place, directs the seasons, and that ought to
and
make
is holy,
and
holy,
is holy, holy,
holy.
And that ought to make our knees shake a little bit.
And then that has an effect on the way that we deal with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the vertical's right with God, that relationship, then the horizontal's going to be impacted. So if we have reverence for God, then we're going to have appropriate respect for those around us.
If you look back at the passage, it said, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior. And then it gives two examples that of irreverent behavior, behavior that is not in line with being reverent. So be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine.
So what does that have to do with
what does that have
reverence?
To do with reverence? Well, slandering is putting someone down subtly. You're talking about them in a way that makes them seem lesser. And I think being slave to much wine is talking about the whole situation of self-indulgence, that I am the most important person. So if I see myself as the most important person and I don't revere Christ, then that shows up in my behavior and I feel like I can put other people down or that I can self-indulge and do whatever I want.
I like something that you said in a part of this book that you wrote. You said irreverence is failing to honor something of great worth.
Mm.
It's making little of something that we should make much of. So if we don't have reverence for God, then we're not going to have appropriate respect for people who are made in the image of God, and we're going to belittle them, demean them, put them down, not consider them of great worth. And that's irreverent behavior as it affects us and many times in our closest relationships.
Yes.
Don't you find that? It's easiest to speak carelessly or in a demeaning or belittling way of the people that are that we should have the most respect for.
Well, and so reverence shows up, or irreverence shows up in our speech. And I think reverence shows up in our speech also, whether we're respectful. And if we revere God and we respect the Lord, that's going to show up in the way that we speak to other people.
There are two verses that come to mind on that when I think of that. James 3 says, "The tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with the same tongue, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." So the way we say, yes, I respect God, but then I treat you like dirt, disrespectfully. Well, I'm not probably going to do that to you, and certainly not sitting on this set doing this program, but in my own home with the people I work the most closely with.
Or in your attitudes.
And the way we treat others really reflects how we view God, in spite of what we might say.
Well, James says, you know, out of the same mouth flows cursing and blessing. This ought not to be.
Right.
You shouldn't bless God and curse your fellow man. You shouldn't say good things about God and, oh, I'm a believer and I love him and I follow him, and then turn around and say something really mean and nasty to someone who has irked you.
Yeah, there's a similar concept in Proverbs 17 that says, "Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker." So the way that I speak to the person that I consider, you know,
lowly,
not of great worth, I wouldn't maybe consciously think that, but if I speak to someone as if they were not worth a lot, what I'm really doing is showing irreverence and disrespect toward God. Puts it all in perspective, doesn't it?
It really puts it into perspective. And I think our speech is one of those areas where we can really do a reality check to see whether or not we have reverence in our lives.
And can I just slip in here? It's not just our audible speech, but it's the way we speak on social media. I've been just, and we've talked about this recently, how both of us have been impacted by people making comments on our blogs, on Twitter, on Facebook, that it's like there's no filter on their mouth. Whatever they think, they just
something that they would never say in person.
Well, you'd hope they wouldn't.
You would hope they wouldn't. but saying things on Twitter or even texting or just these quick responses that can be so hurtful and so unthought through and so irreverent, lack of respect, not only for the person that's being talked about, but ultimately for the Lord.
So we don't get a pass if we don't say it out loud, but we put it on, you know, on a text or in a comment on a blog. And that's where reverence and respect will help us to be careful about what we think first, then what we say, what we communicate, and treating others as made in the image of God. And Paul says in Philippians, "Let each of you esteem others better than yourself." So that reverence flows out of a heart of humility.
It really
does. God is great. Others, you are created in the likeness of God. I need to treat you in a way that is worthy of an image bearer of God.
Yeah, and then the second one, overindulging, that
not slaves to much wine.
So what does, that's kind of an interesting thing. Maybe these women were tipsy, you know, coming to church having had a little bit too much. But I think that the core thing that Paul is getting at here in terms of is overindulgence, too much. It's too much.
Which could be a lot of different
things. So
it could be substance abuse, but it could be food abuse too.
Too much shopping.
Oh. You had to say that.
Yes.
Actually, I don't enjoy shopping, so you can say that.
So I can say that. Too much shopping or too much Facebook or too much TV or too much this or too much that. Overindulging.
Slaves. Because we think we're free because we can just spend our lives doing these things that feel, you know, make us feel satisfied. But Peter says a person is a slave to whatever controls him. So if this thing is controlling my time, if it's something I can't do without,
if it's impacting my behavior, impacting my family, impacting how I go about my daily life, and I'm not able to tear myself away from that thing in order to do what I ought to be doing, that is irreverent, according to Paul. You're being irreverent when you are not honoring God's presence in your life and are overindulging in other things.
So as Christian women, our lives are supposed to look different than the world in every respect. What difference does it make if Christian women are reverent or irreverent?
Well, it shows where our heart is, and it also, we know that irreverence is not very attractive, and that when you see an older woman or any woman for that matter, but it's particularly an older woman who is just crabby and speaks in a way that is slanderous and unkind. It just goes, whoa, that Christ has not made a difference in her life.
And then what that does is to reflect poorly on Christ.
Yes, or I don't want to be like her.
Which then, if that's what Christ is, if that's what a Christian is, then I don't really want to be that.
Exactly.
And conversely, by reverent behavior, I think we can create a climate and an environment in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, where people are drawn to have that same kind of reverence and awe for God, for the gospel, for Christ, for these truths we say we believe. I think we make it more believable when our lives communicate this is something that really matters to us and someone that we respect with all of our hearts.
Reverence. Maybe you've never thought of that word as very exciting, but Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian have been showing us how dynamic the concept of reverence really is. Nancy will be right back to pray. Nancy and Mary write about this topic of reverence in their brand new workbook, True Woman 201, Interior Design. Now, this new workbook is a follow-up to their earlier study, True Woman 101. Just recently, a listener wrote to tell us how God's been using the study in her life. She calls True Woman 101 a lifesaver. She heard about this workbook a while ago and started praying that God would lead her to women so they could all go through the study together. She writes, "Out of the blue, two younger women asked me if I would mentor them. I said yes instantly." She offered to buy the True Woman 101 workbooks for these younger women, and now they're on week 6. These two younger women have not heard this kind of teaching on biblical womanhood in their church, so they're being challenged to embrace God's design on their lives. Now, when this group finishes True Woman 101, what can they do next? To serve groups like this, Nancy and Mary wrote this follow-up, True Woman 201, Interior Design. We'd like to send you a copy of True Woman 201 when you support Revive Our Hearts with the financial gift of any size. We'll send it to you as our way of saying thanks. Then you can evaluate it and be praying about taking a group of your own through the study. And of course, you can get a lot out of it as an individual study as well. Our number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. You can also visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll send one copy per household with your donation this week. To see today's conversation between Nancy and Mary on video, make sure to visit reviveourhearts.com. And when you lead a group through True Woman 201, remember that you can watch those videos together and then talk about them. Well, tomorrow Nancy and Mary will help wives understand why it's important not just to tolerate husbands, but to learn to like them. And now Nancy's back to pray that we'll develop the kind of reverent heart we've been hearing about.
Oh, Lord, this is something that is so foundational. And as we'll talk about these other elements in the days ahead, we realize that if we don't have this foundation of reverence for God in our hearts, that we won't be able to have these other characteristics that we need to be women of God. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, give us a fresh view of how great you are, how awesome you are, how beautiful, how wonderful, how precious is this saving, redeeming grace that you have poured into our lives. And make us women who reverence you, who have a sense of awe and wonder, and who live these temple-appropriate, holy lives wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whoever we're with, in every context, the way we think and talk and act and treat others. May it all flow out of a great reverence for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.